Hi everyone, and welcome to Let's Get Visible, a podcast for small business owners, helping them to grow, have a sustainable business, and get more visibility online. I'm Dawes Brown, and I'll be bringing you SEO and digital marketing tips, as well as interviews and conversations with other small business owners. So, let's get started. In this Thursday Throwback podcast episode, I'm joined by Angela Farmery. We recorded this session in 2020 and just had to add it to the favourites list. She is an accomplished career coach and job interview coach and has previously been a recruiter. Originally from Edinburgh in Scotland, Angela moved to Sydney in 1998. Her passion has always been helping people find a job and career they truly love. Her 15 years experience as a recruiter, reviewing thousands of resumes, has given her insider knowledge on what hiring managers and recruiters are looking for in a resume. Since 2012, Angela has been working as a career coach and trainer and has helped hundreds of ambitious executives, providing them with proactive career planning solutions to help them get their next job. As an ex-recruiter in both agency recruitment and internal recruitment, Angela's insider knowledge has enabled her to see what works on a resume and what doesn't, and to know what employers are looking for, giving her the skills to help people be fully prepared and confident in their career planning. She is passionate about partnering with her clients to help them unlock their true potential and achieve career success. Angela works with her clients to help them discover what's next in their career and then helps them develop a career plan that provides a step-by-step guide on how they'll get there. She ensures her clients are fully prepared for their next job interview whilst assisting them in creating a successful resume and powerful LinkedIn profile that gets them noticed. So, without further ado, welcome to the Let's Get Visible podcast, Angela. Yay!
Thanks, Doris. Gosh, that was a very beautiful and very long introduction.
It was a bit long.
Gosh, yes, sounding very, very, very accomplished there. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. And you are very accomplished, which is why I was excited to have you as a guest on the podcast today. We have quite a bit to get through, but we recently connected through your own online journey. So wanting to use your website and some SEO to further elevate, the visibility that you had. And with that, I guess my first question is why you decided, after having such a extensive, background and experience in working with recruiters, what made you want to launch your own business?
Yeah, okay, that's a good question. So I launched Mindful Careers in November 2018, which is my own business. And prior to that, I'd worked for 6.5 years as a career coach within a recruitment company. So as you said before that, I'd been in recruitment for a long time, both big recruitment agencies and smaller ones. And I've also worked internally for Coca-Cola and Citibank. So I've always enjoyed helping people and advising people. And for me, there's nothing better than getting an email or a message from someone to say, I've got that job, Angela. It just makes my day, which is why I do what I do. I absolutely love it. So I suppose it was kind of really that eventually I was going to end up doing my own thing. I'd always wanted to do it. And then, the timing was right. I'd worked within a recruitment company for a while and I just thought, it's time to move on and do my own thing. So, the name Mindful Careers, I'd thought about years ago, and it very much relates to mindful as in being in that moment and really thinking about what you want in your career, and that you own it, you drive it, and you make stuff happen, basically. So, not worrying about what's happened in the past or what might happen in the future, but actually thinking about it in the here and now, which at the moment, with the virus, is probably more prevalent than ever.
Yes.
The name had been sitting locked. I actually wrote the name down about 4 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and then when I thought, you know, I'm going to do this, and it's just gotten bigger and bigger. And obviously the culmination of the website through your huge help, has really made it feel a lot more established and really given it a lot more gravitas, I think, as well. And just, you know, being a small business owner, just to get my name out there is what it's all about now, really. So, it was always going to happen for me. It was just a matter of timing. And now it feels like, I'm in my place. I'm in my space, and it's totally, I love it. Absolutely. Yep.
Do you think there was something like a pivotal point that really pushed you to make that decision to launch Mindful Careers and be your own boss?
I think what I was doing previously within a recruitment company I really loved, and that was really what helped me change careers from being a pure recruiter into getting the opportunity to get into career coaching and training and facilitating workshops, outplacement ultimately as well. So, a few things happened that sort of pushed me along to just do it maybe a little bit sooner than what I would have anticipated. But it was always going to happen, you know? So, it was meant to be.
Absolutely. And what, I guess, have you seen as the main differences? So being now on the other side of the table, so previously as a recruiter and now sitting on the other side and helping people to identify what their strengths are, what their goals are, what they're looking to achieve in their next steps in their career. Like what, you know, being on both sides and now, I guess, seeing it from that perspective would give you lots of insights. And you would most definitely, I think, you know, if you're assisting and helping people through that process, it would be, as you said, quite rewarding, which is why you do what you do. But any key points that you can share with us from the other side of the table?
That's a good question. I think, you know, when you're in recruitment, I think what a lot of people don't fully understand is that when a recruiter, so what someone working in a recruitment agency, if they get a job phone to them, they'll normally put that job advert up on their website. They'll put it up on Seek, maybe on LinkedIn. So they'll probably get between 100 and 200 applications.
Wow.
Their job advert. And a lot of people say, you know, the recruiters never call me back and I never hear from them. And I've certainly been in that position when I've been a recruiter. Yeah. So if I was handling anywhere from 3-4 jobs up to maybe 15 jobs, and I'm putting every single job on Seek or the equivalent, I'm getting thousands of applications, and you just cannot speak to every single person. And that's, at the minute, the recruiters that I know are all saying it's tripled the amount of applications.
Wow.
Yes. So I suppose from a recruiter's perspective, you've just got to get the right person for the job, and that is how you make your money, because the employer pays them a fee to find the right person, and the employer wants the perfect fit, basically. Yep. Even although people can do the job, it's not that the recruiter's saying they can't do the job. It's more just not what their client, the company, is looking for. And people will fine-tune what they want down to minuscule detail that a recruiter's not always legally allowed to say. But there can be a little bit of discrimination in there often as well, which is not very nice, especially at the moment. But as a career coach, so now sitting on the other side of the fence, what I really work with is to encourage my clients to make them be the best that they can be. So, for instance, making sure they've got the absolute best resume that the recruiters and hiring managers notice, that the LinkedIn profile matches that and sells them in the right way as well. And just really that they've got their little sales pitch. So I always call it the being able to answer the interview question, tell me about yourself in under 2 minutes, and be able to succinctly answer that question about who they are, why they're there, and why they would be right for the job. You would be amazed how people can struggle with that. And people have got to practice it. You know, people just assume that, I'll get in front of them and that they'll be able to do it. And no, at the moment, especially because a lot of it, job interviews are still online, more important than ever. You know, I had someone yesterday say, in the last few interviews I've had, that's the first question they've been asked. Also, hey, Angela, thanks for coming along. Tell me a bit about yourself. And people can get a little bit overwhelmed and they'll say to me later, I got confused. Did they just mean talk through my resume, or did they mean personally, or what did they mean by that? And basically what they mean is who you are. So, hey, you know, I'm a career coach. I've been doing it for the last 8 years. What your skills are that are relevant to the job you're being interviewed for.
Yep.
Why they should hire you. So they're three things, basically. And it should be wrapped up and told in a little story.
Yeah.
Natural story in under 2 minutes.
It's wow. So I think if I had to go for an interview at this point in time in my career, I would definitely be coming out and reaching out to you, because I would struggle big time with that. I'm great at explaining my business, but I don't know that I'd be able to effectively do that about myself. So, yeah, lots of interesting, I guess, perspectives and points of view from that. One thing you mentioned was the perfect fit.
Mm.
Is there such a thing as a perfect fit? Because I remember being on the flip side and being an employee, or, you know, going for jobs, and that was one of the things I would read through the description of the positions and think, wow, that's a lot of stuff that they're looking for. Is there anyone that really does have all of these skills, or am I just being too hard on myself and thinking, oh no, Dawes, you can't apply for that because you don't tick every single box that's in that description? So is there such a thing as being able to tick all of those, you know, boxes?
I suppose the idea of a perfect fit is really what the hiring manager's interpretation of that is. So they will have a job spec and they will have a skills list of what they're after. But ultimately, it's also whether they like the person that they're interviewing, you know. So I've had people say to me over the years, yeah, I was getting interviewed and the interview was going well. And then what they feel sealed it was just something at the end. And often it's maybe that they've got the same interest. For instance, I remember a guy telling me about he was a diver, as in scuba diving.
Yeah.
And he had it as an interest on his resume at the end. So a qualified paddy diver. The person interviewing him said, oh, wow, you know, I'm a diver as well. And they started to speak about where in the world they'd been diving. And
wow.
Their favorite dive spots. And he said, I'm sure that helped. He said, maybe not, but he said, we just connected.
Yes.
And that's the thing. It's really that connection. People can be super rehearsed and prepared for the interview, but if they don't click with the person and they don't get on, then if they click better with the next person, they'll go with that person.
I love the way that you've mentioned connection.
Yeah,
because really, I think in everything that we do, it's so important. You can attract a lot of applicants, but it is the ones that you connect with that are going to be that best fit within a team, or you can tell from their personality, you know, what they're going to be like based on their interests, based on the conversation that you're having. So connection comes up quite a bit in a lot of the discussions and podcast interviews that I've recently had as well, because it applies to so many things, particularly in business and in life.
It does. And if you think, you know, nowadays when people apply for jobs online, there is a lot of what's called applicant tracking systems, ATS, which basically can sort a resume and fit it to the keywords of the job advert and then shortlist.
Wow.
That happens more and more, especially in the big companies. But if that's all it was about, then nobody would interview. You know, basically all they would do is let AI, artificial intelligence, sort through hundreds of resumes and say, here's your top five, pick this one. But human element will always it will always be the final touch, basically.
Love it.
And that's up to the individual to make that connection. And that's why it's important to be rehearsed, be prepared, have rehearsed your answers as much as you can, but ultimately be authentic and be yourself and try and relax, you know, hard as that is at a job interview, so that people can see who you really are. That's important. It really is.
Yeah. Love it. All right. Now, you've explained a little bit about your genius, so the best way that you help and serve your customers and your audience. You also mentioned the link between having an updated resume as well as having an updated profile on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So can you share a little bit more about how you support your clients with both of those areas so that, as mentioned, they're matching and they're telling the same story?
Yeah. So for me, in client, I will attract individual clients and also small businesses for outplacements. Yeah, so that's when people are making people redundant, basically. But individually, when someone comes to me as a private client, they'll come to me normally for one of three reasons. Mm-hmm. So either they've lost their job, and they need, which at the minute is happening a lot. So they've lost their job and they need help. They want to change jobs, so they're in a job but they're not happy, or they just want to know what's next. Or interview coaching. So interview coaching for either a job coming up, or just maybe because they've had three interviews in the last few months and they've not been successful and they want some one-on-one coaching to prepare them to improve for the next one. So when they come to me, if, for instance, they've lost a job and they're unemployed, often it can be people that this is what I'm seeing at the moment, especially, it can be people that have not had to do that in 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
So going from one job to the next, often because they've been headhunted and they've never had to really properly go for a job interview.
Yeah.
They're quite unaware of what the market's like now with regards to how it's changed. You know, years ago, the job adverts were all in the newspapers and you apply through the newspaper.
Yeah.
Not like that now. So for me, I very much work with people, especially people that are unaware of that, to work with them on their personal brand, which really encompasses their resume, their LinkedIn and cover letter if they need a cover letter, and their who they are. Tell me about yourself. What's your story, basically? Why do you do what you do? That's really important as well for people to sit down and figure that out, which can take a bit of time for some people.
Mm.
So having the resume done is the first, absolute first thing. It's super important that is what the market is expecting. It's a modern resume. It's laid out well. I always say with anyone's resume, I should be able to know what they do and all about their career just from looking at page one. I shouldn't need to go to page two and page three to figure it out. They need to succinctly tell me their story on page one. It's super important. And then their LinkedIn should reflect a lot. Not just a cut and paste at all, but it should reflect that. Especially their headline. So the headline is what sits under your name on LinkedIn. And often the default will be financial accountant at Google or whatever, which, you know, it's fine. But a lot of people at the moment, what I'm noticing more than ever, is they'll put their headline as seeking new opportunities.
Right.
Which tells me nothing. So if I'm a recruiter and I'm looking through a lot of people's profiles, all that I'm seeing is a name, a photo and a headline and a location. That's it. If all their headline says is seeking new opportunities, I have no idea if they're a marketing manager, if they're a CFO, if they're an assistant. I have no idea about that.
Yep.
So people need to use their headline to sell who they are and what their skills are to make it easy for people to find you. Super. It's important at any time, but at the minute, my goodness, there's thousands of people with seeking new opportunities. That's not helpful for anyone. Mm.
And look, it's quite important too as small business owners to have that profile and to have that description really clearly define what it is that you do. So lots of crossover there, particularly with, yes, both personal, but even from a small business perspective, we need to make sure that we're maximizing that opportunity right there, because as you said, it does have your name, a location and an image, but what is it that you do? You know, I need to connect with you based on what you specialize in, perhaps, or, yeah, you know, you're an expert in a particular area or field. So that profile and that little tagline and description about you, or the bio, is definitely, yeah, very critical and very important.
And I think if you're a small business owner, you would have quite a different looking headline to someone that's working for a company. Yeah. So
yeah.
Business owner really wants to see what their value is, how they can help their customer.
Yes.
And the background image behind your photo, as mine does, can be your basically advertisement to who you are and what you can do and how you can help your clients. So it's all about where you can, as you said, it's all about where you can add value and explaining what you actually do so that it's super clear. And people shouldn't, same with a resume where I say you should be able to see from page one what someone's all about. With a LinkedIn, the basic top part, you should know. You know, this is Doreen, she helps SMEs with their SEO and their websites. Yeah. Yep. And so it should be compelling enough that people then want to click and look further and see a bit more about what you're all about, basically.
Definitely.
It's the same for an individual that's looking for a corporate job or an individual that's an entrepreneur and has their own business, ultimately, same thing.
Yeah. And look, back in the day, LinkedIn was pretty much, as you mentioned before, a cut and paste of what your resume was and how it read and just popping that onto LinkedIn. But LinkedIn has become so much more than that in the last couple of years, hasn't it? So it's a content sharing platform. I think, yes, most definitely people still connect when they're looking for opportunities. But also for small businesses, it's really a great opportunity for them also to be able to connect with potential clients and customers. And for yourself, being that small business owner and working in that coaching area, do you currently use LinkedIn in that way to help you connect with your clients?
Yeah. So I'm pretty big on posting career tips once or twice a week on LinkedIn, and it's been quite lucrative for me to get new clients as well. And it's not just posting and doing nothing with it. You've got to engage as well. So as a small business owner, especially if you decide, hey, I'm going to, you know, I've heard a lot about LinkedIn, I'm going to get my profile looking good, that's great. If you start putting content out there, it's really important that you then engage back with the people that are liking it, the people that are commenting on it, and start to get a bit of dialogue going, and then keep it going. And obviously, connect with them. If they're not a first connection, then, you know, connect with the people as well. Again, that, and then consistently keep sending out that message as well, so that people see you as the knowledge expert, you know.
Yes.
And then if they see it so many times, I'm not sure what the stats are now, but I've had people come to me and say, well, hey, I found you on LinkedIn, I'll look at your posts, you post some good stuff, it's been helpful. And I think, I've never seen you like or comment on any of my posts, but they're watching me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if it takes a few months or whatever it takes, and then suddenly they're phoning me and saying, can I book an appointment with you? And I think, wow, I mean, I had that happen to me twice last week, and I thought, wow, one lady had just found me in a search. She wanted interview coaching. The other guy was liking my posts, and someone recently that just, you know, I mean, you get a lot of people that just watch and observe, don't they? But they don't like necessarily for whatever reason, they don't comment. That's
Well, it can be a tricky thing, because you mentioned that there are, you know, three kinds of potential clients that will come to reach out to you to work with you. So the first was if they've lost their job, the second if they're looking to change jobs, and the other one is about interview coaching. But the middle one there, so changing jobs, can be quite tricky, because with platforms like LinkedIn and other social media platforms, if you like or comment on a post and you're currently working for another company or organization, it is quite possible that you're not liking or commenting because you're not wanting your current employer to view that as, oh, this person's going and looking for other work. But the important thing, as you said, is that you're engaging, you're connecting, and you're being consistent. So they're the three core things on LinkedIn. I agree with you. I think they work really, really well. You do need to show up. You do need to be seen as that expert or specialist in your field. But the other thing is that Google loves seeing that too. So looking at it from that SEO perspective, having that offsite element and building up your profile on a platform like LinkedIn also helps your overall visibility online and does that organically, and as you said, then, you know, can turn into leads even if they're not necessarily doing the likes, the commenting, or sharing. So it can be a great opportunity for, yes, people looking for work opportunities, but also for businesses that are looking to connect with their clients or to collaborate.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Another place where yeah. I really love finding content and information about other organizations or businesses that would be great to work with and to collaborate with. Yeah. They may specialize in something that's complementary to what you do, and I'm all about that cross-pollination. So how can we help each other? How can we, you know, share what we do with our audiences to then further extend our reach and get some more visibility happening that way as well. So it's definitely an effective and powerful platform, but you do need to use it correctly.
Exactly. You really do. And you need to really just get into that. I think once it becomes a habit,
yep.
just another thing that in the morning you check in on, you know, you should, even people that are not posting at the minute, because apparently only 3% of people on LinkedIn, and there's 650 million people on LinkedIn globally, which is huge.
Yep.
There's only 3% of that 650 million posting, which is incredible.
It is.
But even if you're not comfortable posting, just engaging with content that you like, making a comment, liking it, and that's when LinkedIn starts to notice who you are, and that pushes your profile up so that your potential clients get to see you a little bit.
Well, I had a client or a potential client reach out to me because I had commented on a post of someone within their network. So seeing my little name and my little photo pop up with my comment then made them want to reach out to me about what it is that I did. And I'm thinking, we're not even really part of the same network, but it's that degrees of separation. Yeah. The other thing, I've just picked up my phone because I took a screenshot of this a little while ago. So LinkedIn can be quite a good tool to use from an organic perspective, and that just means not having to pay to post your content. But I shared the same image and the same content on both my Facebook page as well as my LinkedIn page. And when I posted it on Facebook, I organically reached 290 people with that post and with that image. When I shared exactly the same content and image on LinkedIn, I got 1,067 organic views on LinkedIn. So at the moment, it really is one of those platforms that's underutilized. As you mentioned, 3% of users are posting at the moment. It's not as saturated as some other platforms like Facebook and Instagram, where I'm really seeing quite a significant reduction in that organic, you know, visibility and that return. So I think whilst it's still not a saturated platform, that small business owners definitely need to take a look at rethinking what LinkedIn can do for them. It's no longer just, hey, I'm copying and pasting my resume and looking for a job, but it's rethinking, well, this is where I can connect with potential clients and collaborators to really build my business and build that visibility. And as I said, you know, do that cross-pollination
exactly.
as well.
That's a good point. And I mean, for me, it's all about, and it should be for everyone that's posting, it's all about adding value. So
add value.
There's nothing more annoying than posting on LinkedIn and all you're doing is a sales pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, the career tips I'll post a couple of times a week are all about how to prepare for interviews, what a resume should look like. So I'm not sort of trying to push my courses or say, hey, do this. People quickly get bored with that.
And no one likes being sold to. But the key, again, you've touched on a key thing, that adding value. Yeah. I think if you come from a place of adding value, you are, in a sense, selling, but you're not doing it in an icky way. You're saying, well, these are the pain points. Here are some solutions for those pain points or questions. Then if you need any further help or support, they know that, again, you're that specialist and you're that career coach that they can come to and get that service from. But adding value, absolutely, online is a really key, definitely a key thing across the board.
Yeah.
Now, in hindsight can be a great thing. Is there anything that you would do differently and why when it came to launching your own small business?
Yeah. I mean, for me, if I look back now, and obviously it's not been that long ago that I set up, but I probably would have done it sooner than what I've done. So my advice to anyone thinking about it is do it, basically. But what I would recommend, and if I had my time again, would maybe do this, I probably would set up as a side hustle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, while I was still in a job.
Yeah.
And get things, get the basics going and have a clear plan on where I wanted to go with it and have it ticking along on the side before basically taking the plunge. So, but yeah, I think do it basically if you want to do it. But if in doubt, test it.
Yes.
What your plan is by using it, especially at the minute when the market's so all over the place.
Yeah.
Test it as a bit of a side hustle if that's possible.
Yes.
See what sort of response you're getting from it as well. But yeah, that for me would be the only thing. I set it up November 2018. For various reasons, it was a bit of a slow start. So yeah, it probably is where I am at it now. I maybe could have gotten there maybe 6 months sooner, but you know, you learn other things along the way, don't you? So I'm a big believer in what's meant to happen will happen, but you've got to drive that and make that happen for you, basically.
Yeah. And a common thing or question that we all go through when we launch a business, particularly at the very beginning, is that we've got this business idea, we've thought about a name, and then we're trying to get it moving and get it going. And I think we've all gone through this where we're like, is it actually going to happen? Am I going to see success from this, or is there going to be cricket? So when you did launch in November 2018, was there anything in particular that really helped you find some momentum in starting to connect with the right clients, the right audience? Apart from the online aspect, was there anything else that you could share as a tip that really helped you get out there and get the word out there about your Mindful Careers business?
I think for me initially, I spent the first few months very much getting out and face-to-face meeting my existing network.
Yep.
Obviously, I used LinkedIn to remind me, you know, who to go to. But I met everyone for coffees. I met everybody for face-to-face. I didn't just sit there pinging emails or making phone calls. I actually made the effort to be, for me, you know, it was the city. So I was in the city maybe twice a week, and I would have consistent meetings lined up. And I would just ask people's advice. I'd say, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm thinking. And I would get their ideas. And then that really helped mold really what my business ultimately has become.
Yeah.
That I've now got on my website. So all of that really helped me early on. And then really thinking about it, I thought, well, okay, that's all fine, but I'm probably not going to make me much money in the beginning.
Yeah.
So my thing to make a bit of money was to actually approach the big outplacement career transition companies who I know take a lot of contract coaches on. And I approached all of them. I met all of them. Just through my own network, I cold called or I emailed and I met them all, and then I got some work, which I'm still now doing actually, for Audrey Page, which is a big outplacement firm, and I've been working with them since last June. So that was a nice way to earn some consistent money and also build my knowledge and build my client base and network.
Love it.
Well, yeah. So
love it.
It's having other options, isn't it?
Not yes. Just
and then, because you're talking at least a good 6 to 12 months, I think, before things consistently start to, sometimes longer, depending
on what
business is.
Yep.
So you've got to have other avenues. And I was very clear on that. I had three avenues when I set up. I do it on a little mind map. So I had my own private clients. I had the outplacement, which I got through and still have through Audrey Page. And then I also had any training facilitation that I could do. So I do a bit with Sydney University and the Centre for Continuing Education, and I've some others along the way as well. Obviously, at the minute, it's been a bit quieter. But I had three ways to make an income, not just me and my little business. It was things.
And coaching.
That basically branched off that were still relevant, but that made me money. And kept me sane, feeling like I wasn't just sitting on my own thinking, when's this going to work for me?
I love it. And that is the key to being sustainable. Exactly. Is not just putting all of your eggs into the one basket and thinking that that is going to get you through, particularly like we've seen recently, you know, through the harder times, having gone through COVID-19. If you just had one stream and you hadn't done that mind map and thought about different avenues that are still related but are going to support your overall goal, which is to run your own show, exactly. Absolutely having those different areas that all complement each other are so, so important, because it's the difference between, you know, surviving or being sustainable and being able to continue to do what you do based on your terms. And I think when you launch, sometimes that piece of the puzzle isn't there because you're really trying to focus on one particular thing and you think that you have to do that and do that at 100%. But if for whatever reason that's impacted and you don't have any other avenues or streams, then yeah, again, it could mean no business, you know, at the end of that 6 or 12 months. And I think the fact that you mentioned having face-to-face meetings, so it's not just about sending off, you know, 100 emails, but being that person, making that connection with other people. Because I think the other thing that small business owners may think running a small business on your own, so if you're a solopreneur, you don't have employees, you don't have a team, it's just you, they do have the chance or the opportunity to what I call be on an island. Yes. So they think that building their own business is just them. It's just about them. It's just about what they're doing, but it's not. Building your business is the result of lots of love and support and, you know, care from not just yourself, but the other people within your circle, within your networks, who are going to give you, as you mentioned, that advice. So ask for help, ask questions. You don't need to be on an island, and it certainly doesn't need to be an isolating experience, but you've got to put yourself out there to make sure that you're also sharing your ideas and what it is that you can do to help others as well.
Yeah, I mean, I engaged, so a few months in, I engaged a business coach. And I met with her every month for about 10 months. And that was super helpful for me. Kim McGuinness, her name is. And she was awesome. She worked specifically, her company's solo CEO. And she worked specifically with people like me that are basically doing their own thing. And it was really helpful to just bounce ideas off, especially around the marketing side and, you know, setting things up. I mean, I knew that I had to have other avenues to make income, as I said, but it was just good to really have the support. It's so important. To try and just do it all yourself, it's really tough, you know, for anyone going out on their own. Anyone that does their own thing is so brave to take that plunge, but you need to have a strong, consistent support network. It really makes a massive difference, massive, massive difference. And makes you want to enjoy it and keep doing it. I mean, nobody wants to have a business and be a year or so in and think, oh, I hate this. You know, that's the worst thing. You want to be getting up every morning and thinking, I love it. I love being my own boss and I love what I do. Yep. And you're only going to achieve that if you've got a lot of support around you, I think. You know,
we agree.
It's really important.
And you've got to love what you do. I think the foundation of being a small business owner or solopreneur is the fact that you're doing what you do because you love it and enjoy it, rather than basing it predominantly around a dollar sign. Exactly. I think that's the other thing, is sometimes you sit there and think, oh, I don't want to be an employee anymore. I want to run my own business. What's going to make me the most money in a short amount of time? And there's this misconception that, you know, you're going to get rich in 30 days, quite similar to page one, position one on Google in 30 days. Like, things take time and you've got to work at things. And yes, hindsight is great, but it's those things that don't work out so well or perfectly that teach you the best lessons. Exactly. So if everything is smooth and goes well and goes right from the get-go, if you do come across any of those more difficult times, you don't know how to cope and you don't know what to do because you haven't learnt those skills from having such an easy, you know, path or road into it. So I guess what I would share is don't be so hard on yourself or concerned if it's not smooth sailing from the get-go, because it's those lessons that you're going to look back on and go, thank goodness they happened to me, because now I know what I need to do in order to be sustainable and keep going. Whereas had they been perfect, those lessons just wouldn't have been learned and you wouldn't be able to pick yourself up, you know, in those times.
Yeah, it's all about building your resilience and just the persistence. I've been referred to over the years many times as a very persistent person, and I am. You know, if I have an end goal and I know what I want to achieve, then I'll keep going with it. And you've just got to, but you've got, as you say, you've got to love it. I mean, I love what I do, and I love being my own boss and having my own business and really feeling like I'm making a difference, not just in people's careers, but everyone's career and their job affects their lives. And
yep.
So, yeah, when I get lovely emails, which I do, then yeah, that's for me what it's all about. It really is. It's why I get up in the morning and do what I do, basically.
Absolutely. Now we're up to the naughty C word, which is COVID-19. And you'd mentioned, particularly in the industry that you work in and working with people who've lost their jobs or, you know, looking for that career change, I'm guessing it would have impacted the people that you have worked with in quite a significant way.
Yeah.
Has it impacted your business directly at all? And has that impact been, do you think, positive or negative or a little mix of both?
So I think for me in my business, what's been interesting is the coaching that I offer hasn't changed that much, but how I deliver it has. So in essence, before the virus, I would say about 40% of what I did, I would meet people face-to-face.
Ah, okay.
60% was maybe online. So I'd always give people the choice. And a lot of people, about 40%, would say, oh, no, Angela, I prefer to meet you face-to-face. So then I would meet them in the city. So obviously, you know, a bit more time-consuming, but still fine, and I really enjoy that. As soon as the virus hit, 100% of what I did was online.
Yeah.
So people had no choice, and I had no choice. And, yeah, I must admit, it's been a lot more time-efficient for me to be able to do that. Now, it's been interesting because initially I had done a lot of interview coaching and one-on-one, and it always was face-to-face, never really done much online interview coaching. And the last few months, everything has been online, and it's made no difference, really. You know, I always thought, oh, gosh, with interview coaching, you really want to be able to sit with them. But it hasn't really made a lot of difference. And ultimately, they're getting interviewed online. So one guy said to me a few weeks ago, this is the first time I've used Zoom. It's really good to practice with you the basics of it, because the interview tomorrow is on Zoom, you know. So little things like that has really helped people as well. But it's been a lot for me personally. It's been a lot more efficient with my time to just be able to do it online. And yeah, it hasn't made a huge difference. Fortunately, because of what I do, it can be conducted fairly easily online. Even, you know, going through someone's resume with them online, I will literally just share the screen.
Yeah.
Through the LinkedIn, they share the LinkedIn screen with me, and they're driving it, and I'm talking through what to do with it and how to use, not just how to make it look good, but what to do with it, how to use it. Yeah. Yep. So it's fine having a fabulous profile, but if you don't know what to do with it next, it's not much use, really.
Yeah, so absolutely.
People doing that as well.
I love how you mentioned that, though, because a lot of processes like interviews have had to go online. And even with some of the training that I do and coaching that I do, I've had some clients say, Dawes, I've never used Zoom before. So being able to use that technology is great. It does remove boundaries and you know, some of those barriers. But in your case, I guess it's also helped them manage, you know, that process of having an interview and being able to use these platforms confidently, because they're not all second nature to everyone. You know, they can be quite foreign and quite scary, and thinking that you're about to have an interview and use a new platform or program would just be adding to that stress of preparing and planning for that. So
I've had someone who just had a bad internet connection, and I said to her, look, with me, the internet connection and it's buffering and it's dropping out, if that's doing that on a job interview, that's going to work against you. So what I'd suggest is that you hotspot off your phone, because it's going to be a better connection. So yeah. She did, and she said, oh, I'm glad you said that, because she said, I know it sounds silly, but I actually haven't thought about it.
Yeah.
Things like that. You know, the last thing anyone, if they have a job interview or an online meeting where you're pitching for something, you don't want to be worrying about your internet connection. No. So be able to just, I mean, I actually, one of the first things I did when this happened was created a checklist on how to prepare for an online interview or an online meeting.
Awesome.
Send it to people in advance, but there was about 20 tips on there.
Yep.
So that's so useful, you know, because as you say, people hadn't had to really think about it previously. You had online meetings, yes, but not as consistently as what we're all getting at the moment. I mean, I know it's starting to change now, which is nice, and a bit more face-to-face, but everything was online. So you've got to be prepared for that. And just, it's one less thing to worry about as well, really,
yes.
if you are prepared in advance.
Yes, which is great. Yeah. Well, so much value and gold to be shared with our audience today. Thank you so much, Angela, for being part of the Let's Get Visible podcast. Now, if our audience would like to get in contact with Angela, I will be popping all of her social media links onto the podcast episode on the website. But there's also a free 15-minute career clarity coaching call with Angela. Again, I'll pop the link underneath the podcast episode, but you'll just need to type in Doors Podcast to be able to get access to that and to have some of that expert knowledge and support from Angela. So again, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing all of those insights. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and I look forward to us staying in contact as well.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely to talk with you today. Thanks so much.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Angela. Thank
Bye.
You. Bye. Thanks for giving this show a listen. And don't forget to leave your feedback and rating, as this would make me very happy. Now, if you want to learn more about me or my services, please jump on over to letsgetvisible.com.au, where you'll also find links to my socials so you can connect there as well. Okay, well, that's a wrap for another episode. So I'll join you next time on the Let's Get Visible podcast. We'll be right back.